right. Welcome to Mindful Mud, Sir Ryan.
Thank you for bringing me into your presence and into your palace.
Yes. Rocking in a Chrysler minivan with Broncho. I can't thank you enough. Son of a bitch. I'm going to need to turn that off. Bear with me real quick.
As they're speeding down the highway, they're driving fast.
Driving fast. This thing is recording. Yeah, we're good. All right. I'm on the road with Broncho. We're in Davenport, Iowa. Episode 14 with Ryan Lindsay from Broncho. I can't thank you enough for taking me on the road. You know, this is definitely been a, what's the word? I don't know, just like a reaffirmation of like getting on the road and just doing it, because I've just personally been dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression over the last 4 or 5 years. And that's kind of like why I started the podcast, just kind of get out of my head and try to help.
That's great.
Yeah. And so this has just been like a really triumphant 6 days for me. I mean, just like not dealing with any anxiety. And I'm just really thankful, because I just never thought I would be at this moment, you know, just loving what you do, but just mentally, physically, just won't allow you to do it, you know? So this run means it's a great jumping off for new victories in my own life. So thank you for allowing that to happen.
Thanks for coming. Touring can be very therapeutic.
Yeah. It is in so many ways. But enough about me. How did the name Broncho come about? Make sure you talk up.
Well, it seemed Broncho, it seemed like a funnier joke at the time. I don't really know what it means. But I remember something about it was funny. I remember me and Ben laughing a lot about it. But now I don't know.
So, I mean, you were trying to come up with some names, and that was just kind of maybe a joke name or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was, it's not funny anymore.
I love the name. It's always great to have a unique name and name that you can truly call your own. I guess, you know, Ishii played y'all's first show back in Tulsa at the Crystal Pistol.
Crystal Pistol, my favorite spot. Yeah. That place is great.
Yeah, now it's called like the Yeti.
The Yeti.
Yeah.
And the stage isn't where it used
backwards.
To be.
It's on the other side.
It's on the other side.
Yeah.
But the
get the that Crystal mic close.
The Crystal Pistol was the best, because it was like in the back of a bar, and you walk through that door, and then there was this room, and it had a high ceiling and a big stage, but small, you know. It was like a tiny little tall room.
Yeah.
And dark. Right. Very cavey.
Well, I also found out on the tour that you're Pisces as well, like myself. Pisces Unite.
Hashtag Pisces
Unite. How, have you in your lifetime gone into kind of the deep and dark waters in your life? Or you seem like a pretty you know, on the surface kind of guy. But I mean, could be wrong.
I think about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about stuff. Yeah. I think now that I think for me,
yeah.
I keep laughing every time I say think. I do think a lot. I think about a lot of stuff. But I also try to let things happen naturally.
That's key.
Because if things just happen naturally, then it ends up being easier, you know?
I think that's a big lesson that I've been learning too. Just to
Works.
Yeah.
It works on the road for sure. Yeah. Because at the end of the night, you're going to find your way to the stage and you're going to play a show.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. And so the rest of it's really easy.
Right.
You just chill. Sometimes, but there's a lot of time to think in those moments, you know? And I think the fact that people that travel and then really... Not that you can't be busy a lot and you can... I mean, there's a lot of people that can stay busy and maybe don't have enough time to just sit and think. But our crew is kind of... built that into it, and that's why we're late everywhere, because we're thinking about stuff.
Well, that's something also I admire about your band, is how hard you guys have been working from the beginning, and with me getting back, and you know, I've never played 12 shows in a row. So it was definitely frightening, and if, you know, I wasn't in a good state of mind, and I hopped on some antidepressants the top of this year, and that's, like, been a game changer. It's just, like, it's been, like, a breath of fresh air just to really feel like myself again. So it just always just seemed extremely daunting to do...
To go out on a tour.
Yeah, and to do 12 shows in a row or do a month. I mean, you guys are basically doing, like, about 20 shows this run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe, yeah. About.
And then, that sounds about right. It's like 3 weeks.
I'm doing 12, yeah, and you got another probably.
And then we do a West Coast tour pretty soon after that. We go home for, like, 10 days. And, sorry. We go home. We're home for like a week and then we go to the West Coast. But yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, I guess I just don't even think about it because, it could probably cause me anxiety. I don't even, want to find out. So I don't think about it. Like, yeah. I have to think about it in sense of, like...
Day by day.
Yeah, like, I just... We have a tour and we go do it and keep things simple.
Yeah.
The simpler... And like, the things that I have to do that I keep in my mind, the simpler I make those things, the more it gives me time to think about all the other stuff.
Right.
The deeper questions.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the really not deep questions. It's just time to let things happen and be around people and learn. You meet a lot of people on the road. You can take things from everybody. There's always something new everywhere you go, and that's... It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I think you said something key that I'm taking from you as well is, yeah, you can't focus on the future, and something, you know, a big part of what I'm learning is, like, learning how to stay in the now, you know, and just not focus on that stuff, stuff that you can only control here.
Yeah. Giving up control is, one of the steps to relaxation, for sure. Yeah. There's also, it's like there's this teeter of being flexible and everything, and then also getting stuff done. And I like to ride that line pretty heavy, of because there's been a lot of things that have come out of moments that if they were in some type of structure, they wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And so I try to keep structure out of it.
Yeah.
To an extent, or maybe part of my mind is wanting to keep the structure out of it, but also knowing that there's things that could be done, you know. Yeah. Maybe they don't even have to be done. Maybe they shouldn't be done. That's right. Why I don't want to focus on I guess I just want to focus on fun.
Yeah. No, and I
what sounds good or what makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I think things can happen easier if I'm relaxed about it.
No, I agree. And that's another thing I really admire. And I think it's key to have, you guys have a booking agent, you have management, and you just kind of, you know, you honestly don't know when you're playing next. You don't know what time you're playing. It's just like, you just go with the flow. And that's something that you don't have to keep in the memory bank and storage and worry about. And that you're just able to just play the show and have your beer and your one hitter and everything like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. You weren't getting my own hums, but I did several of them.
He's munching on some banana bread. So what? You're working on your fourth record right now, and it's in the process of getting mastered.
That's right.
And what's some of your inspiration in writing? Like, I remember talking to you back in the day of a lot of it's just kind of, and the earlier records kind of fictitious. Don't touch that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, is that true or not?
Is our music fictitious?
Well, you're
it fiction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't know.
It is.
It's all
fiction.
I mean, is there anything that comes? Has there been any songs that have been a personal inspiration or experience?
I mean, it's probably a mixture of all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we definitely are affected by any type of interaction with anybody. And so those things, knowing anything situational that makes sense and feels good in a song,
yeah,
we're going to try to exploit, you know. So that comes from somewhere, but it's not necessarily as true or serious as it might sound.
Right.
I feel like we're trying to write comedy bits more than we're really trying to write the message.
Yeah.
But the message should be, ultimately, we hope that it does something for somebody.
Yeah.
I like songs that I can take different ways. The meaning can mean a few different things,
right,
depending on like where I'm at, and I might hear something and
open-ended.
Yeah, you know? I like that stuff.
Yeah,
I
do too.
I like not knowing.
Well, how was you guys just back in November? I was so stoked you guys were able to join me for New Year's Eve. That was a blast.
Thanks for having us. Yes. That was the best. And you put on a great show.
Thank you. And we had a great after party. You kind of dipped out early. You had the lady with you.
I went to sleep.
Yeah. But we had fun without you anyway.
Yes, your room was pretty great. I walked into it. But I did end up seeing you before we left, which is good. But we were supposed to leave way earlier.
Yeah.
And so I was coming to put something in your shoe or something. I had something of yours. And you were under all the covers and you were laying, like, I just figured it was you, you know? And so I put money in your shoe. I don't remember what it was for, but it was for something.
Yeah. I hope I got that money.
Yeah. It could have been a room key.
Yeah.
It was something of value. It was something enough that we were supposed to leave, and I was like, I got to leave this here.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to wake you.
But I ended up waking up in time and saying
goodbye. I know, because it took us like 3 hours to leave. Because we couldn't find Nathan. And then he lost his phone.
Yeah.
And
he just shook the covers and like popped out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
And so because of that, I actually got to say bye to you.
Yeah.
So I thank Nathan for that. And also, it was like a perfect way to find Nathan. We didn't know what room he was in because they gave us all our own rooms.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And so they had the lady at the front desk just had somebody go just open these different rooms. And was like, no, he's not in this one. And then she said, they're in that one. And so I was like, they? So I didn't know if I should, like, really just bust in on, like, whoever they was.
Yeah.
But it was Nathan. And we got him. And we left.
Was there a they?
No, it's just Nathan.
Yeah, yeah.
There might have been a they, but there wasn't.
Not that day.
Like, who knows?
Well, tell me a little bit about slinging guitars with Queens of the Stone Age. You did a month in November.
That's right. We did a month with them.
And you in Europe.
We did a month with them in Europe, and it was fantastic. It's the best.
How was that different? You didn't do it as long as with Billy Idol, but how was your experience different? It seemed like you maybe had a little more camaraderie with the Queens.
Well, we definitely, we really hit it off with the Queens guys. Just friends. It's great. We hung with them a lot. The difference is really, when we toured with Billy Idol, it was like a completely different, we're way different than we were then. That was just really early on that second record. And I would love to open up for Billy now. I think, I don't
know.
A
little more seasoned.
Yeah, it would just be so much fun. I loved opening up for Billy Idol. And opening up for Queens of the Stone Age is the best. We'll say yes every time.
Did you learn anything on that, or just seeing them do their thing, or any aspirations, or I don't know, did it inspire you, or make you think, I don't want to be that big, or I do want to be that big?
I think what happens is, for me, is I see these people that are, I feel like the people that are doing it right are the people who are just like the most chill, and they're all so chill. It reaffirmed the chill.
Yeah.
It really does, though. You see people that, like, it seems like the people that are getting the things that they want are the people that are chill about it. Or the people that I like that are getting what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get what you want in a lot of different ways, but I like the way that they do it.
Yeah.
They're really nice to everybody on their crew, and their crew is, like, really nice to us. And that's a great environment to be around, especially when you're cruising around all these scary places.
So we're in Chicago tomorrow. Obviously, this will be released later. Till the day I die, I'll be thanking you for these 12 days, if that's all it'll ever be, because I just can't.
We're going to do more for sure.
I can't. I mean, like, to be completely honest, I went to go get coffee today.
Yeah.
And I broke Al's cell phone holder. And so I went to go buy him a new one, and it took me a while to find one. But I was smoking a cigarette, and I literally broke down in tears of joy, of just being like,
yes, dude.
Of just being
That's
like,
great.
I can't believe, you know, that this stuff, that I'm just, you know, just out here doing it with my homies, and just like, and I feel free and alive. It's just, I don't know, man. I just never thought, like I said before, I just never thought I would ever get to this moment, and I'm just beyond ecstatic and grateful that, and I just wanted anyone listening that, you know, there's hope out there, and there's, you know, there just is. And I know I've talked about antidepressants, and life just isn't worth not being happy and not feeling right in your head. And it worked for me, and it's, you know, it's not for everyone, but if you get to a point where you can't move on, and that's where I ended up being. I was just like, I was at rock bottom, and I had another good musician friend on antidepressants. He's like, dude, you just got to try it. You just got to give it a shot. What else do you have to lose? And it's just been so magical.
That's great.
Yeah.
You feel like you can just do, like, the simple things?
Yeah. And the simple things and the big things. Like, I mean, if I wasn't on antidepressants right now, I would not be sitting here with you. That's just, like, just how it is. I mean, maybe, but it would be, I might still be, but it would be like a living hell every day, you know, just.
Well, it's good to hear you say this, because I never would have known that.
Yeah.
Because I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I never would have. You never gave me the impression that that you were dealing with these things. So,
yeah, I mean, it's only been, you know, since 33. I'm 37 now. So, what is that?
Like
5 years.
It started when you were 33.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what
it was? Like, happened on tour. It happened on tour.
Like, it was just a.
Yeah, just like blindsided me out of nowhere. It was like a physical, like, I just got done playing in L.A., and some Dallas friends were there, and they got me a shot of tequila, I did a shot of tequila, and then like my body temperature just like skyrocketed. I had to like take all my clothes off, and I started like getting, felt like someone like dosed me, like just started tripping and like vertigo, and like felt like I was about to pass out. I just started chugging Gatorade, and the next 5 hours felt like I was tripping. Then the rest of the tour was fine. I noticed that I was feeling a little more anxious. And then the shit happened to me again when I was running sound when I got back from tour. And just like this split second of like a feeling like I'm like blacked out, you know, with not any alcohol in me. And then it just started like a social phobia, like, you know, just stopping all my sound shifts and just like afraid to go outside and having panic attacks on stage and just mayhem. I mean, just like, you know, but yeah. So, I mean, that's been crazy. I mean, I know all you boys have a more of a hate relationship with your upbringing as being, you know, being in the Bible Belt and stuff like that, but, and I was raised in the church and everything like that, but man, I was just in such a black hole that I really had nothing else. And I have had, I mean, through that process, I have renewed my faith, and it's been pretty magical. And it's, you know, Christianity gets such a bad rap for the obvious reasons, but how I look at it is like, I'm not going to hate truth based on generations that have fucked it up. You know, I'm not going to rob myself of, you know, of a story that is beautiful and that has got me out of some dire straits, and just because my parents, their parents, don't understand the message of Christ, and that's just love. It's just like straight up love everyone, let them be who they want to be, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, I don't really have a hate for growing up in the church and stuff. I grew up in was a very loving world, and so it never felt like it was something that was bad for me.
Yeah.
And I really am in a place that I feel like everybody should have the right to do what they feel like makes them feel at their best.
Yeah.
And in a way that doesn't affect other people negatively.
Yeah, exactly.
You can argue that there's negative things about organized religion, and I get all that stuff. But I try not to... I don't even think about what, you know, other people believe in, because I don't know. Like, I'm always trying to figure out stuff. I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
And so I don't, I don't. I think it's good if somebody finds something that is helping them and helps them out, then that's great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just important for humanity to individually have meaning and purpose, you know, no matter really what that is. And for me, it is Christ. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything other than that. But just to have meaning and purpose allows, in my opinion, allows you to like touch the divine. It allows you to intertwine heaven and earth, in my opinion, once you you aspire to be something outside yourself. You know, that's straight up just loving people when you don't want to be loved. You know, like yesterday on the road, like I'm freaking unloading my car and these three dudes are just like, look, like right by my face, like, oh, what's up, modest Yahoo, you know, and just like stupid shit, you know, and I'm just like, don't say anything. And it's just like, you know, I could be like, fuck you, you know, or whatever, but you, it doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, if we're thinking about progress, then that can affect your actions. And so if you want to make progress in a situation, I guess what type of progress, that would depend on the action.
Yeah. And then I blew it, too. Like, I mean, you know, we had, it was an interesting night last night. And, you know, there wasn't that many people for my set. And I lost my cool for, I mean, yesterday was a bang of a day, just with me and my tour manager, but these guys were talking in front of me while I was performing, and, you know, the crowd, or the stage was foggy and shit, but he had his, like, back facing me, and I was just, I just was pushed my limits, and I'm, like, flicking him off, you know, I'm, like, very subtly
to
this guy that had his back face to me, like, in my face while I was on stage. You know, it was stupid. But I was just, like, my first nature was just, like, I just gave him two fucking fingers. He couldn't see me because his back was towards me. But I was just, like, did it. And I was, like, what are you doing, man? That's fucked up. And I was just, you know, it was
a crazy
day. It
probably looked cool, though.
Yeah.
Because if I would have seen you do that, I would just be like, that's a great move. I wouldn't have even known that you were so upset about it. But also,
I wouldn't have been any other day, but my limits were pushed to the max yesterday.
Yeah, I hear you. Just as therapeutic as tour can be, it can also be equally or more so stressful.
Yeah, and it hasn't been. I mean, yesterday, I mean, I was, like I said, I've had a major breakthrough in my life being on this tour. And
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm so glad I'm here, too.
You put on a great show.
And I, you know, I just, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but I'm just so thankful because you guys, just the yin and yang of what we do, it's completely different. And for you guys to embrace that is just another huge blessing because it just doesn't happen. You know, even with bands that sound like me don't take me on the road. And I guess it really is a testament of just, it's all about who you know and the friendships that you have. And I know we've been talking about it for a long time, and I don't think it could have happened at a more precise time in my life and all of our lives. And but I just think it's cool because you guys are a rock and roll garage, fucking balls to the wall band, and to have that, and people have been loving it. I mean, they've been loving the just the two dynamics of just, like, more ear candy, you know, more variety of life,
just,
you know?
Like Coach always said, you just want to put talent on the field.
Yeah. And I think that's brilliant, man.
Yeah, if something's good, it's good, you know? It doesn't, if it makes sense, it makes sense. And you definitely make sense.
Thanks, baby.
I'm glad you're with us. You put on a great show.
I am so thankful.
You have great songs. You really know how to rile up a crowd. Those are all things that I want.
Yeah.
And a tour buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
One, does he know how to spend his PD? Two, can he rile up the crowd? You know how to spend your PDs, right?
What is that?
Yeah, I think you do.
I do?
That's a correct answer.
So I'll be doing a series with Broncho on the road as much as I can get in. I appreciate you spending time with me. Is there anything else you want to talk about or that I missed? I don't want to keep you too long.
Let me think of any. Well, we didn't talk about my book yet.
Oh, yeah. Is it in the making?
No, I don't have a book. It just, I felt like that's what.
That's what you said.
That's what you said at this point.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about.
A chance to talk about the, we'll talk about the book next time.
Okay, the book next time.
This is a great space you have in here.
Well, thank you.
This feels really good and cozy.
I'm sorry for, like, barking orders at you, but.
You know. This is show business.
Yeah, show business.
Gotta mind the cables. If I consider myself a professional, then you were right to bark at me.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I know that definitely seemed rude.
This is show biz.
Yeah.
This is show biz. I need to be able to take that.
Well, I'm glad you're a trooper.
I'm a trooper. I think we're a little SEAL Team 6.
Yeah. Well, Broncho, Ryan Lindsay, man, we didn't even get into, like, you playing with Starlight Mints.
This might have to be a two-parter. Yes,
I think it might be. Well, I would be honored to have you on two parts. At Broncho Worldwide. Everywhere on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Instagram, all over the world.
All over the world, my lord.
Yes, my lord.
Yes, my lord. Would you like some more pepper, my lord?
It's just the people, my lord. They want more pepper.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for episode 14 on Mindful Mud.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Mudd.
You're welcome. I love you. Pisces.
Thanks for talking to me about stuff.
Pisces unite.
Pisces unite.
Yes. Till next time.
Till next time. Part 2.
Bye.
To be continued.